Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board, there is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Make sure you guys check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, the 110 Nation Sports. Also, make sure you guys jump over and check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. In case you guys missed it last night, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, Reach Chat Live. Chris, Craig, and Taz were in the studio. I had another great guest last night, so make sure that you guys catch the replay on that. You can go to the site and hit on the Blog Talk Radio player, or you can just go to Blog Talk Radio and find us on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. You can also catch us on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play, you name it, we're there. So make sure you guys check it out and check out all the great shows right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. You guys will be back in the studio again next Monday night. We got another great guest, so make sure you guys check that out as well. Got a lot of things to jump into tonight. It's been an interesting, interesting week when it comes to the when it comes to the sporting world. First of all, tip my hat to NASCAR. Couldn't go out west and go to California. Not that everybody's jumping going to California, but anyway, they couldn't go to California to do a race. So back-to-back weeks at Daytona. Week two on their schedule, they did the road course. All three races came down to different strategies, overtime, and pits. It was a hell of a weekend. Ben Rhodes took the Truck Series race. Ty Gibbs took the Xfinity Series race for his first Xfinity race period, but for his first win. And then Christopher Bell took it in the Cup Series for his first win in his Monster Cup career. So, but all three races, hell of races. Strategy was definitely interesting, and loved how all three races played out. I tip my hat to NASCAR and how those races played out. Fortunately for them, they played out great. I'd love to know the ratings on them, but I know, being a fan of NASCAR, I have not always been a super big road course fan, but the Daytona road course is definitely a favorite of mine when it comes to the road courses. So I'm glad I got an opportunity to be at the house and be able to watch that. I know last year we were supposed to go to the Brickyard, and of course, because of this quote-unquote pandemic, we were unable to attend. They gave us tickets for the race this year, but it looks like they're doing the road course at Indy. So looking forward to seeing how that track plays out and getting an opportunity to go to that race. A lot of talk today. There's been a few topics that have been big topics today, but the first one I want to jump into is Cam Newton. As we all know, never been a big Cam Newton fan. From the days when he got kicked out of Florida for stealing the laptop and cheating, and to getting paid to play at Auburn and all that scandal, and then you move on into Carolina and on the whole ridiculous dabbing thing, and the whole Superman thing, came out, blaze of glory, was a big body quarterback, didn't have an arm for squats, never once ended up having really an arm for squats. That's why he used his legs as much as he did. Fortunately for him, he was a more of a big body quarterback, so the injuries weren't piling up as they did for RG3 and some of these other quarterbacks that did not have arms and had to use their legs to compensate for the lack of accuracy and lack of arm. And as ages wore on, the arm never got any better, never got more accurate, and Carolina decided to move on. And New England decided to give him a chance last year. And a team that nobody was really expecting to do much. It was kind of one of the reasons Tom Brady went ahead and left. There wasn't much going on. They weren't building a team or putting a team around him. And you ain't going to do due diligence. So I'm going to take my talents to Florida and help Tampa Bay win a Super Bowl, and exactly what they did there. And you have Cam Newton stuck in New England. Of course, he had a lot of good things to say in his little interview, sit-down podcast with Brandon Marshall. But one of the things that stuck out about that whole interview, other than the fact that very complimentary of Bill Belichick and talk about how he's one of the most misunderstood people in sports, don't know if he was genuinely meaning that or if that was just kind of a pitch to hopefully get re-signed with New England again this year. But talked about he wasn't ready to hang it up yet, that this is not how he wants to go out, that there are not 32 teams or 32 quarterbacks out there better than him. And we're as the free agency time frame is opening up, and then they got till March 9th to people to make decisions. You know, I can agree to an extent, and you know, it's when it comes to these quarterbacks, these quarterbacks that are run first, throw second quarterbacks because they don't have an arm. You know, your Colin Kaepernick's, your Cam Newton's, your RG3's, your Lamar Jackson's. You know, they come out, look good in that first season or two, and then after that, it kind of gets very restricted because unless they're able to, and I mean, the likelihood of them learning how to throw an accurate and good deep ball or even just an accurate pass at this point in their career, after high school, after college, after a season or two in the NFL, and the odds of you learning how to become an actual quarterback, and an NFL caliber quarterback, is really slim to none. And that's why, you know, plus the baggage that came along with Colin Kaepernick, you don't have him in the league no more. I mean, came out that first season, took over for Alex Smith, really didn't deserve the position over Alex Smith, but got it, took the 49ers to the Super Bowl, or continued the momentum into the Super Bowl, and called it, eventually cost them with the turnovers and waste timeouts and everything else. Defense adjusted, and after the roll into the next season, the production got less and less. The arm didn't get no more accurate. The arm didn't get any better. And then he started throwing his sideline activities and his focus that was not quite on the NFL. Then demanding starting quarterback pay that was not a starting quarterback, quality quarterback. And that exits Colin Kaepernick. And then you also have RG3, who came out not really an accurate quarterback. Got lucky with some deep ball, really was not an accurate quarterback. that first year or two, running around, picking up all those yards, looking great until the defense adjusted. And then when the arm didn't get any more accurate and the passing didn't get any better and the injury started to pile up, I don't even think RG3 is even in the league anymore. I know that he was a backup somewhere, I think Baltimore at some point. But I don't think he's even got that role anymore. Cam Newton, same thing. Came out, MVP of the league, like Carolina, the Super Bowl. He was a little more fortunate than the other quarterbacks that we've mentioned so far. He was a little bit more big bodied. He didn't have the skinny, lanky kind of body frame. He was more built like a linebacker. Still was not an accurate quarterback. And depended on his legs. And once the defense is adjusted to that and teams had a chance to study film, the productivity got less and less. And that's where we're at now. Now, I can agree. I'm not too much of a hothead or man to admit that, no, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton. I'm not too delusional to say that now. There's probably about 29 or so that are. I mean, Kyle Murray, better. Matt Ryan, better. Tom Brady, Patrick Holmes, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, but, you know, retired. Tannehill, I'm not going to say Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was another one. Kind of depend on his legs a little bit more because his arm is not that great. Dak Prescott, better. I'm not going to throw Carson Wentz in there. I don't even know if I would throw Joe Burrow in there. Deshaun Watson, better. I'm not ready to throw Lamar Jackson in there, better. Kirk Cousins, better. Derek Carr, better. Garoppolo, better. Stafford, better. Mayfield, better. Not going to say Minshew. I'm not going to say Darnold. Not going to say Dwayne Haskins. Not going to say Daniel Jones. Okay, so we're not going to have 32 teams or 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton. We're at least, say, let's be honest, about 24 to 26 quarterbacks better. But then of those six or so quarterbacks that are not better, we're talking about quarterbacks that are in their mid-20s. So now teams have a decision to make. Do you take Cam Newton, who has never really been an accurate, good quarterback, has been a quarterback that's dependent on his legs, been dealing with different injuries, that is now 32 and more than likelihood, with all these injuries and all the wear and tear, has kind of wore the tread out on the tires, and is really a band-aid for a team that does not have a plan for maybe 2021, even maybe 2022. Or do you go with one of these young quarterbacks? Do you stick with your Sam Darnold? Do you draft this year and move forward as we expect the Jets to? We expect Jacksonville to. Pittsburgh went ahead and signed Dwayne Haskins. I think that that would be an interesting situation if you took Cam Newton to Pittsburgh. It buys you a year or two. You can go ahead and suck up the dead cap space, the $22 million that you're going to have to pay Roethlisberger, or do you go ahead and keep Ben and you pay the $41 million that he's not worth? Because we all know that the lack of performance of the 2020 season, you're probably going to get Cam Newton on a cheap deal, just like New England got him going into the 2020 season. You had some people felt that he was lowballed on it. Nobody's going to feel that way this year because Cam Newton did not even perform to the expectations that people were that expected him to get paid more was riding off the Carolina days, which were past those days. So where there really is not 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton. And we can validate the fact that maybe that retirement's off the table because you're not there's a position out there and about 6 to 8 teams. Are you willing to kind of be a Band-Aid while that team is looking for their future? Are you able to put your ego to the side, even if it's staying in New England? Are you able, Cam Newton, to put your ego to the side and realize that you are a Band-Aid, you are a product of now, you are not a product of the future, you're not something a team's going to build around, you're not a player that a team is expecting to sign a long deal, long-term contract. You're looking at a year here, maybe 2 years there, and you're looking at a contract that is not going to be guaranteed of a lot of money, if anything at all. That's more going to be incentive-based in hopes that they get a year or two of good productivity out of you before who they draft or who they're going to sign and develop is ready to take over. Are you willing to take that role? That's a pretty big step in checking your ego and doing what's better for your career if you're not ready to retire, versus you have someone like Colin Kaepernick who refused to play and then wants to throw all these owners underneath the bus saying, I've been blackballed for this reason or that reason. No, you weren't blackballed. You had contract offers. Just nobody was offering you starting quarterback pay because you're nothing more than a backup quarterback at best. You weren't willing to take those contracts. You use your sideline activities and kneeling for the national anthem and everything else as your scapegoat to kind of throw everybody underneath the bus and blame the NFL and blame the owners. You're not getting contracts, and that's completely not even what exactly happened. So, Cam Newton, are you willing to take the lesser contract? Are you willing to take a contract that's going to only have you a year or two here or a year or two there? Maybe, like I said, maybe incentive-based, give you opportunities to make your season worthwhile, but are you willing to be the quarterback now, a Band-Aid for a team that is looking for their future? And can you put your ego to the side? Can you be a system quarterback? Can you play that role? That's a big question, especially with Cam Newton, especially with the flashiness and the extravagance that his lifestyle leads. I don't know someone that's been a league MVP, someone that has led a team 15-1 and gone to the Super Bowl. And I hate throwing that 15-1 season out there. I hate even throwing the Super Bowl run out there. I mean, statistically, they played the easiest schedule possible. I understand that they have nothing to do with doing the schedule. It's all based on rotation. They just fortunately only played like one team that was even a 500 team that year. So I hate that's even a stat that's thrown out there. I think the only two teams they played that was legitimately was the Arizona Cardinals that they beat in the NFC Championship game. I was shocked that they got past the Carson Palmer-led Arizona Cardinals. And then, of course, they got demolished in the Super Bowl with the horrible performance he put in the Super Bowl. But outside of that, I hate the fact that that's even a topic of conversation when it comes to on his record, because that was like the worst. That was the most cakewalk schedule ever and created. And the teams that they just happened to play that year was just everybody had horrible seasons. And so it made Carolina look like this incredibly great team, 15-1. And that wasn't even the whole case. But more so, are you willing to take that? Are you willing to play that role? Like I said, there's not too many quarterbacks out there that you rate better than. You threw 8 touchdowns this year. You had more interceptions than touchdowns. 7-9 record. I just I don't know. That to go from being a league MVP and competing in the Super Bowls and knowing that you are not ready to retire, that you feel that you are, there are not 32 quarterbacks better than you, and I can agree with that. But of those 6 to 8 quarterbacks that are not better than you, they're young quarterbacks. They're quarterbacks that are not past their prime, that have not wore out the tread on the tires, that have enough left in them that they can have a lengthy contract. They're not past their prime. They're not just there to kind of be a Band-Aid over a season or two until the team decides what direction they want to go. Who are we waiting for to come in the draft? Is it someone out of the 2021 draft? Is it someone out of the 2022 draft? There's, like I said, there's like 69 million reasons why the Patriots could be where he needs to stay at, and 69 million is the cap space. Like, the Patriots have a lot of cap space this year. They have an opportunity to bring in players to surround Cam Newton. Now, whether or not anybody wants to come play with Cam Newton, that's going to be a whole other thing. You know, they didn't have all this room and all this opportunities while they had Tom Brady and had this system. And if they would have better managed this, who to say Tom Brady would have went anywhere? But since you didn't have all this and didn't have an opportunity to put players around him, Tom Brady didn't want to spend his last few years in the NFL playing with unknown receivers and the unknowns, and wanted to be able to compete for another Super Bowl. Now you have that cap space, but now you have a quarterback that there's no certainty. There's no... Can he lead a team to the playoffs? Once upon a time, this AFC East was a very weak conference. Now it's not even the same case, as the Miami Dolphins have gotten better. Buffalo, just short of the Super Bowl. The Jets are still the Jets. That's not a change. We'll see what direction they go with this draft, and do they keep Sam Darnold? Do they move on from that whole project and draft somebody new, trade for somebody? I know that they've been very voice about bringing Deshaun Watson in. I just don't see that happening. I don't see the Jets having enough to offer to bring Deshaun Watson to New York, but that AFC East is not such an easy road to the playoffs or to the Super Bowl as it once was, as that division's gotten tougher. But do any receivers that become free agents this year, amongst many names, do they want to come play with Cam Newton? Do you want to take a chance playing with a quarterback that's not really got an accurate arm, that has already spent all these years in the league, and that arm is wore out, that inaccurate arm is wore out. It's only going to be able to take so many more beatings before the injuries tally up. We know the defenses have already adjusted and have learned Cam Newton, so that's not even something that once was, and watching him run for all those yards. We watched that with Buffalo with Lamar Jackson. That's another quarterback I see is going to start falling off, and it's not going to be as productive. And all these people, Lamar Jackson this and Lamar Jackson that. All you had to do is just learn how to not let him run. I think that was one of the most aggravating things watching the Cleveland Browns when they played Baltimore. You stop him from running the ball, you beat the Baltimore Ravens. Exactly what Buffalo did. Kept him running. You forced him to throw the ball. What ended up happening? He threw more interceptions than he threw touchdowns. Like, that's the simple solution to that whole equation there. But I will agree with Cam that, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily the right time to hang up the helmet or not, but I will agree that there's not 32 quarterbacks in the league right now, as of today, that are better than him. Now, after this draft, there's a possibility that we're getting closer to that 32 number. But is there a team out there that's ready, willing to bring his services in to hold them over for a season or two? Is Cam Newton ready to embrace just being a Band-Aid and not being the future of a team? So we'll see how this plays out. We'll watch the free agency as that window opens up until March 9th. I see where he lands. And see if Bill Belichick's willing to take another year and have him in the system. Is there anybody in the draft that New England's looking at to draft and to either be the future, or do we draft down, as Bill Belichick is famous for doing, and build to and work their way up the draft to see for the next season or the following season? Who do we see coming out of college football in the next year or two that New England is intrigued by or wanting to bring in? I know there's a lot of talk about Bill Belichick wanting to bring Jimmy Garoppolo back. Issue with that is Jimmy can't stay healthy. It seems like he may get a week or two and he's out. You know, the most complete season that Jimmy had, the 49ers won to the Super Bowl. And obviously Kansas City was able to take care of that. Wasn't wowing us with the numbers, and you know, most of those games he was barely throwing 200 yards, but he wasn't turning the ball over. He managed the game, but is Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers willing to come off Jimmy, or do they want to go in a different direction? And would that be, with that cap space, that $69 million, would that be an enticing enough to bring receivers in to beef up this offense? And a quarterback that has been in the system and knows the system. It's like this free agency time period here that's coming up and some March 9th, this is definitely going to be interesting. And we're going to have to see how these dominoes fall leading up into this draft and see we'll start getting an idea of who's expecting to draft quarterbacks and where some of these teams and what direction they're going to go. And speaking of teams and directions to go, Seattle Seahawks. Wow, it's an interesting situation out there in Seattle with Russell Wilson, as he's expressed his dissatisfaction of what's going on in Seattle and wanting to have more of a role in the offense and how it's ran, the protection, the play calling, that kind of stuff. And I understand that part of this is the fact that he tries to extend plays and that instead of living to see another down is, I most commonly say, and it's the quarterbacks that I typically want to have in my backfield. You know, Russell Wilson is kind of a unique situation. You got a quarterback in the third round that you didn't have to invest a lot into, and it was kind of one of those things, well, it's third round. So if it works, it works. It don't. And then you kind of lucked out, and you got a quarterback at a cheap rate, and you know, eventually you're going to pay him a lot of money. But you had an opportunity, and that was kind of why Seattle had the run that they had, or was able to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl and make it back to the Super Bowl, even though they lost. You had a bunch of young players that they drafted and were on cheap contracts. Once everybody started wanting their money and you started having to pay out the money, that's when the Legion of Doom broke up and you started having to send players elsewhere because you couldn't afford what everybody was wanting. And it was fun while it lasted. That's why this ridiculous conversation of Patrick Mahomes being the next Tom Brady and his baby goats and all this ridiculous garbage stuff that everybody talks about. One, Mahomes doesn't live to see the next down, as he was choked out and hobbled around on one foot through the playoffs. But also, you're already starting to see the same situation in Kansas City that we saw in Seattle with Chris Jones and his contract and what, $90 million over 4 years, 5 years, whatever it was. And you got Mahomes' contract, 10 years, $500 million. And you're starting to add all these contracts. Tyreek Hill's going to want his money. Kelsey's going to want his money. Sammy Watkins, if he sticks around, he's going to want some money. Like, you're going to have to start paying these players. And you already got your key players wanting max contracts. I mean, you figure, I know some of it's bonus incentive and everything else, but, I mean, essentially $50 million locked up a year with Patrick Mahomes. And you're looking at, what, almost $20 million a year, whatever, and Chris Jones. So that cap space is starting to get smaller and smaller. So are the Chiefs willing to continue to be over the cap and pay the luxury taxes and everything else, or you start drawing that back in and start getting underneath the cap? And how much are they willing to work out and be over the cap? How much is that championship run worth? How long are you willing to be over that cap space? How long are you willing to work out all this extra money just to have these players? Or when do you finally say enough's enough, like the Seattle Seahawks, and you start trying to regroup and restructure your team and these contracts? And so that's why, and see, that's the difference between Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, and Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady wasn't about max contracts. He took hometown discounts and was more focused on Super Bowls and being protected versus having max contracts. And so now you got Russell Wilson, who at the time had a max contract. And we watched Seattle kind of dispense and disperse and everything else. And yes, I think I saw something or heard something today that they've only missed the playoffs like once since Russell Wilson's been there. And like I said, it is not common that you get a third round quarterback that has played to the level that Russell Wilson has and is had this success and took you to a couple Super Bowls and won a Super Bowl. But you have a quarterback that statistically easily top five in the NFL right now, and probably over the last 10 years that he's been in the league, statistically the best player that the Seattle Seahawks have ever had. And you have a quarterback that wants to be involved, that wants to find ways to help improve the offense, to make it more efficient, that wants to help team continue to be a threat in the NFC West and the NFC period and go to the Super Bowl. And here you're not wanting to really work with Russell Wilson. You kind of want him to just be silent and let Pete Carroll continue to do things the way Pete Carroll wants to do things. Now, there has been offers, and even though Seattle has said that they're not interested in trading Russell Wilson, the reports kind of contradict themselves when we know that Seattle's looking for 3 first-round picks to trade off Russell Wilson. So if you're not interesting, then we should not even have this kind of number. We should not know that you're looking for 3 first-round picks. That means you're saying one thing, but the buzz is in your ear that we got Russell Wilson for in the third round. We got him on the low. We're on the back end of his career. We can possibly get 3 first-round picks. We could start looking at our future. We could use those 3 first-round picks. What do we got coming out in the next year or two that if we do this, we might be in a rebuild for a season, but is there anybody that is willing to trade us that their three draft picks are going to help us this year or next year get a quarterback, the following couple of years, get pieces to go around that so we can make another run? I mean, that's what I'm hearing here. That's the big picture. If I'm trading off my franchise quarterback, like the quarterback statistically that has been the best player in this franchise's history, best player period, not just quarterback. If I'm going to trade him off, I'm already game planning on what I'm expected to get and what's coming out, so I can make this a quick, easy transaction, or quick and easy transition, so that we're not one of these teams that are going to be rebuilding forever and a day, that we can get back into winning the NFC West, that we can get back into returning the Super Bowl, and that we can do this without a hiccup and our fans be upset because we traded off the best player we've ever had in our franchise history. So you can say that you're not interested in trading Russell Wilson. First of all, just like Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man, always said, everybody has their price. There's a price out there for Russell Wilson. Whether or not Seattle executes the trade and is willing to accept the backlash, especially if it does not turn out the way that they hope it turns out, and the scrutiny and the hatred that they're going to get from their fans, if they're willing to take that chance, that's a whole other question. But don't say that you're not interested and you're not going to trade Russell Wilson, but take calls and put out there what it's going to take to get Russell Wilson, because that lets the whole NFL world know that you're willing to trade him. Just whether or not the right suitor, the right team with the right three first round draft picks is that team out there? Have you received the right offer from the right team? Because not everybody's three first rounds are going to be worth Russell Wilson. Now, obviously, you're going to prefer someone that's going to get you high-end three first rounds. And you're also going to prefer someone that's going to be I just shut everything down. You're also going to prefer somebody that is not in your division and preferably not even in your conference. You only want to have to see Russell Wilson other than the rotating schedule, unless you're in the Super Bowl, preferably. So, yeah. So we're going to see how this. I just don't see Seattle. I see that them deciding to work things out. I see them. It only makes sense. Why would you not want your quarterback involved? Why would you not want your quarterback helping you game plan for these games, make your offense better, protect him? Like I said, I understand part of this and a lot of this has got to do with his wanting to extend plays. He's one of the very few quarterbacks that I don't necessarily cringe when they decide to extend their play, because most of the time when Russell Wilson does extend the play, he manages to get out of bounds or get down. He don't take as many hits as your RG3s and Lamar Jackson, the Cam Newtons, and Colin Kaepernick's. He does it more often than if I was team owner or the coach I would want. As a fan, only likes one team, it doesn't necessarily bother me how many times he takes that chance. But like I said, I understand part of this is his doing, but I also understand that there needs to be an offensive line that's going to protect him, that's going to give him the time, that's going to make his job a little bit easier. And him wanting to be involved, it just makes no sense to me. You've got quarterbacks out there that just kind of punch the clock. They're in, they're out, and that's it. And then you've got quarterbacks like Russell Wilson that is a team quarterback, that is a corporate guy, that wants to be involved in the functioning of this team. Why would you not appreciate someone that is trying to help better the system, better help the situation, and let him be involved? Regardless of how much input you take and how much of that input that you do take, you utilize, at least let him feel that he is an important part of this whole decision-making. At least entertain him dropping, different things in your ear, and make him feel that he is part of the decision-making, regardless how much of it you will actually allow him to be part of. Like, why would you shoot yourself in the foot? There's too many quarterbacks out there that their ego gets the best of them. They're not willing to adjust. They're about their contract. They're about, their line wife, their commercials, their this, their that. Why not want to work with a quarterback that is trying to improve your situation, and your odds of returning to the playoffs, the NFC Championship, the Super Bowl, whatever the case might be? Another big topic today and this week has been LeBron James. 18 years in the league, 38 years old, or 20 years in the league, 38 years old. The insanity of what he is accomplishing and has accomplished is unreal. But here we are in the month of February, and LeBron James is playing more minutes than anybody in the NBA. Now, of course, Dennis Schroeder being out due to COVID and AD being down because of the injury, and really no timeline on AD. And, of course, the protocol and the COVID regulations, they'll have Schroeder back here soon. But the big question and the big conversation is, it gets to be almost every year, is his minutes. It just doesn't seem that he slows down. This man spends $1 million a year on his body and his health, and putting him really in the situation and the physical shape and athleticism that he's in. And, the questions that he's getting and the people questioning his time and how many minutes he's playing, especially after another loss last night to the Washington Wizards, which I understand the Washington Wizards are not the team that anybody's expecting to be a threat to anybody. I mean, they still have Russell Westbrook. They still have Beal. It's not like this is just some rollover team. But I understand it's also not a top five team, even in the East. To watch him have to go in overtime again last night and play the minutes he plays, and listen to his reaction talking about, I am resting, I'm sitting here doing this interview, I sit in my car on the way home, and I understand it's not the same. I understand that these players are kind of in a unique situation, because the turnaround from last season to this season is very minimal, as they're trying to get back into basically a regular time frame of their season. And with COVID, everything got pushed back. So they finished their season late last year and then tried to roll out this season closer to the time frame. And then you're going to have the same situation, because the season didn't roll out on time this year, so it's still going to be a shortened offseason again this season. A shortened offseason after this season again not to the extreme until they're able to roll back into a regular time frame and get the season kicked off on time. So this is going to be something that it's going to take a couple seasons to get back into the normal flow and the normal rest days in between games and everything else. And so I understand this is a little bit different than a normal season. But LeBron's never really been one to take off a lot of time. I mean, he usually leads the league in minutes played. And, you know, you get towards right before All-Star break, normally he starts to slow down a little bit and then uses that time and then the All-Star break to kind of recuperate and rest and get ready for the second half of the season as they make their playoff run. And depending on their seeding and where they're at, whether or not he's got to go all the way up to the playoffs or gets an opportunity to kind of slack off and kind of not play the full amount of minutes leading into the playoffs so that he's ready for the playoffs. But at the end of the day, when you have a player that has played as many seasons that LeBron James has played, that plays the amount of minutes that he plays, and has made it to the NBA Finals as many times that LeBron James has made it, to listen to these different reporters and listen to these different talk shows question the Laker organization, to question LeBron James. You know, it'd be one thing if he was playing all these minutes, as he was getting ready to slow down a little bit with his minutes as we're getting ready to go get close to the All-Star break until AD got hurt and until Schroeder has the COVID-19 coming down with the positive. Like he normally does to recuperate and get ready for the second half of the season, but injuries and COVID-19 kind of prevented that. You really don't have a team deep enough and young enough because every LeBron team has aged veterans that you get on the low to kind of fill that roster that you're not expecting them to play a lot of time. You're expecting them to come off the bench and give the young players that break that they need, but you're getting those veterans that have the experience that LeBron either likes, have played with, or have been in, you know, the championships and the playoffs and has that experience. Now you either play LeBron and let LeBron play these minutes and hope to pull off some wins that they're not really expecting to get and kind of coast till everybody gets back and hope to sneak a couple wins. Or you let LeBron rest, or you make LeBron rest because he ain't trying to rest, and you hope for the best and you hope for your seeding that you're not now going to get home court advantage and you're not going to get this and you're not going to get that. You're not going to get, you know, that rest time, because when you're that number one seed and you play that eighth seed team and you sweep them, not only did you have the home court, but now you get a rest before round two. And continues on is, you know, you hope that, you know, you get lucky and get fortunate enough to play another high-seeded team in the playoffs, that you get a sweep and get more opportunity to get rest. Nothing worse than going to the playoffs than you being a fourth-seeded team and had to play fifth-seeded, or you're three and six that are a little more equal and the series drags on six, seven games. And so you got the first seed and second seed resting up, and you got your third through six not resting up. And so those minutes and the minutes and the game start to play their toll and wear down, wear you down. And it reminds me of that Golden State team that they, you know, 73-9 was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then by the time you're up 3-1 against Cleveland in the playoffs, in the finals, and you start to wear it down, and Cleveland makes that run to win a championship. It all starts to add up. It all starts to make a difference. But LeBron knows his body more than anybody. And I understand that we're starting to get into a time frame or a situation where, you know, time's going to catch up with them. and these 20 years in the league and the creeping up on the 40, that, you know, he's going to start to experience fatigue like he's never experienced before, and some of these minor injuries or nagging, you know, minor pains start to become a nagging pain, and they start to take their toll on him. But to get to that point, do you really pull back? And what is one of the greatest players to ever play this game? Your only shot of getting a good seed or even making the playoffs. I just think it's insane that such a big deal has been made about how many minutes he's playing a game. I could see if the coaching staff was forcing him, or if he was unhappy, or we saw him struggling to play these games and struggling to make it to the end of the game. But when we're watching him play at the level he's playing at, and I mean, he was what, a rebound short of a triple double last night. That kind of tells you everything you need to know, and whether or not physically he's up to this or not. But speaking of the All-Star game, I know that we're creeping up on it in Atlanta, and, you know, with the quick turnaround, and I know that people are using this as part of their, well, this is, you know, one more way, you know, he's putting too many minutes in, he doesn't want to play in the All-Star game, and, you know, this, that, and the other. Well, first of all, a lot of this decision and him not wanting or really careless if they have an All-Star game this year, back to the quick turnaround in the offseason, trying to get the season time frame back on track. But let's be honest, is there really a point of an All-Star game? Let's throw in the fact that there's not going to be fans, and there's not going to be this whole to-do for this All-Star game. So now you're putting on an exhibition game that really means nothing at all. That there is no defense. We watched the best of the best score almost 200 points on each side of the ball. That tells you. So either all of a sudden everybody's the best shooter in the world and everybody's horrible in defense, or nobody's trying. We'll just be honest about it. Then you got your skills competitions. Well, that's really the only thing that really holds any kind of weight for the All-Star weekend anymore. Not so much the slam dunk contest. This is not the days of the you dunk or you get zero. Now you get like six attempts at dunks and everything else, and it's not even really worth watching. Now the three-point contest, that's something to watch. That's a whole different skill within itself. But there's nobody there to watch that, and so it kind of takes away from that as well. And with just like the Pro Bowl, just like All-Star Weekend for the NBA, until you have a purpose, until you give these guys a reason to actually want to try, to actually play like All-Star players, there's really no point in the All-Star Weekend. There's really no point in the Pro Bowl. I mean, once you start making it the East versus the West, winner gets home court advantage, then it makes a difference. I don't know if it still make a difference or not, if it's that important to anybody or not. To me, it would be in a normal season. I would rather want to know that the first, three or four out of the first five or six games are going to be in my court. I'd rather want to know that game one and two, and it was a 5 and 7, are going to be played in my court. So I'm going to play a little bit harder. I mean, granted, you're going to have a few of those players are on teams that they know that their team's not making the playoffs. There's no shot in hell. But majority of those players that are playing during the All-Star game, their teams are in the top eight. Why would you not want an opportunity to have to make the Lakers come through your court, or the Brooklyn Nets to come through your court? Why take a chance that they're going to be the higher seeded team with the better record? Why not the All-Star game, make the All-Star game serve a purpose, yet these players want to play. I understand, oh, the injury thing. Well, injury is going to happen regardless. They're going to twink an ankle or pull something, showboating, and all the stuff they do regardless. So why not make this game serve a purpose? I am fine with the NBA not, and more likelihood they're not going to have an All-Star game. LeBron is like the most influential person ever in the NBA. LeBron doesn't want to play, doesn't want an All-Star weekend. They're probably not going to have an All-Star weekend, and I'm perfectly fine with that. The game serves no purpose. I couldn't tell you last time I watched it. As a matter of fact, I don't know what year it was. Shaq was still, I think, in Orlando. I remember I was at church. I had a little TV, or there was a TV downstairs, and that was the last time, so I was probably middle school. So you're looking 30 years ago at this point, last time I watched an All-Star game or even cared to watch an All-Star game. I couldn't say last time I watched a Pro Bowl game. Major League Baseball, NHL, NASCAR, they have a purpose behind theirs. I can get behind those. I have no interest in watching the Eastern Conference score 196 points and the Western Conference score 192 points. Like, no interest at all. Just like I have no interest in watching the highest form of football with what is supposed to be the best players ever play two-hand touch. I just assume go up the road and watch the Pee Wee League play flag football. Don't forget, Monday night, 8 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, Race Chat Live. That's Chris, Craig, and Taz. We'll have all the latest on this weekend at Homestead, Xfinity Series, and Cup Series, as the Truck Series will not be there this weekend as they get the weekend off. They do have a guest again this weekend, so make sure you guys check that out as well. If you guys missed any of their shows, all you got to do is catch it right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to the site, www.the110nationsports.com, as there is a Blog Talk player on the bottom of the main page or on the right-hand side of all the other pages. Or you guys, if you guys are listening through iHeartRadio, you can catch replays there, iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker, you name it. We're pretty much on every platform, so you guys check those out. Catch all the shows. I will be back in the studio next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Don't forget, you guys can check us out on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Like I said, go over and check the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all of the latest. Monday night, 8 o'clock. Race Chat Live. Make sure you guys, my mouse does not want to work right. There we go. Make sure you guys check out the latest on their show. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation. So be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110nation and on Facebook at 110nationsports. Until next time.